by verse through the scriptures a couple times a week, and they do that in the mornings on Sundays, in the evenings on Sundays, and on Thursdays as well. And then they have a preaching during the afternoon, Brother Dave Hoffman, Pastor Dave. So we're in the book of Matthew. We're in the book of Matthew. We're Matthew 4. And I think we're going to get through this chapter today. So we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the message. Okay. I've got extra notes in case I don't have enough. Father in heaven, thank you for this day, and thank you for your words, Lord, and we're grateful for them. We're grateful for a place to come and meet. And air conditioning, Lord, there's a lot of places around the world, Lord, that they don't have air, and how they do it, it's got to be a hard thing with sweat dripping on the Bible and everything else. But we're grateful for it, Lord, and we pray that our hearts and our eyes and our ears will be open this morning, and we would see some truths out of your words, and that'll help us to better walk with thee throughout the week and throughout the years. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, the Bible says in verse 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." Now, Peter isn't called Peter here. It's not until a later time that Peter gets his name. And that'd be in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, that's where the Lord gives him his name. 16, verse 17. The Bible says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now when Matthew writes the book, he already knows what Peter's name is going to be. Now notice what Jesus says here. He says, and he said unto them, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. "And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now this was the first commandment given to Peter by Jesus while he was on earth. First commandment. He says, "Follow thou me." Look in John 21, 22. John 21, 22. The Bible says, "Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, And what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." So that's the last thing that Peter hears Jesus say while he's on earth. That's the last command. Follow thou me. Follow thou me. You know what Paul says to believers of this age? Be ye followers of me. Even as I am of Christ. Be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ. That's what it says, 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Matthew 4. Verse 19. It's interesting here. They're fishers of men. Now, in relation to God, we are under the water. We are under the water right now. God sits in the third heaven, overlooking the sea of glass mingled with fire. And it wasn't always that way with the earth being in the water. 2 Peter 3, 5 and 7. 2 Peter 3, 5 and 7. The Bible says, "For this they willingly are ignorant, of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water, perished. Now that's during the reign of when Lucifer was reigning on earth. And when he rebelled against God and said that he wanted to ascend above the throne of God and be more than God, he wanted to be God. The earth sank. And it sank right into the depths of sea. And that's where we're at today. Now in Genesis, he divides the waters and there's like a cloud of air, but we're still under the water. There's the atmosphere there, but up above the atmosphere, all around is space, and that's water. And so this, the earth, it sank. Back to Matthew here, Matthew 4. And so technically, this world is underwater. And so the great fisherman, which is Jesus Christ, he comes to earth. He comes out of the water, into the water, fishing for men. It's an amazing picture here of what Jesus Christ is doing. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, let's go to Jonah 2 and look and see what Jonah, how he is. This is a picture of a sinner in the depths of sin. And Jonah pictures this by being in the depths of the water here. The Bible says, chapter 2, verse 1, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and thy billows and thy waves passed over me." Here's a sinner, pictured sinner in the water. And Jesus is fishing for men because your sins have caused you to be cast into the deep. And that's how this world is today. And he died for the sins of the whole world. So here he is. "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compass me about, even to the soul, and the depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainteth within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. Then they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Here's he's repenting. "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." So here's Jesus Christ on earth, fishing for men, trying to get them out of that sin, get them out of the water. Jonah sinned, he was in the water. He repented, he came out of the water. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you come out of the water. Great picture here. And now Jesus is trying, he's wanting to call fishers, helpers, to help him fish for men. And that's what he's calling Peter here and his brother. Verse 20. "And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Now, here you're left with an impression that Peter and Andrew first left their father high and dry, and then they left everything the first time they ever met Jesus. That's what it implies here, because this is the first account in Matthew. Look in John 1. John 1, 35. Again, the Bible says, verse 35, "Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi," which is to say, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So you see, these disciples, they've been to John's preaching. They've heard John preaching. They've been baptized by John. Here comes Jesus before they were even called, and they've met with Jesus here. They've already been approached by Jesus in a previous event. They're just not packing up their bags when Jesus says, come follow me, and running after him. Jesus has encountered these people. They've listened to the preaching of John. They've submitted to the preaching of John by being baptized, and now Jesus is going to call them out. But it looks like it's a process here. They already know a little bit about the Messiah, not only from the preaching of John, but by their own dealing with the Messiah himself. Here he is. He's meeting with them. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. Seven seventeen. The Bible says, But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. So either way, you're a slave. You're a slave. If you get saved, you're a slave to Jesus Christ. You're to serve him. If you're not saved, you're a slave to the world. So here you have the Lord teaching something interesting. And so what he's teaching here is that no matter what position you are in before you were called, when you're saved, whether you're a slave, whether you're free, whether you got a job here, whether you got a job there, whether you're a union carpenter, whether you're a non-union carpenter, what he's teaching is stay in that position until he calls you out. And he's not going to, he doesn't want you to quit your job. That's not what he wants. He wants you to stay there. Now, you're going to see that these disciples, they've met with Jesus, they've had previous encounters, and they don't forsake all till later. The reason why these men left their nets is because God called them unto a specific ministry here. It's a specific ministry of an apostleship. And there's many preachers out there that they'll try and guilt the younger generation into making a step out in faith right after they get saved. The Lord can get you to live by faith at your job. He can get you to live by faith no matter what you're doing. Hey, you have to live by faith to tithe when you've got a 50% tax rate out here. You got 50% taxes. If you tithe 10%, that's 60%. And that's not even all the taxes. It's probably 75% now. But by the end of the week, what do you got left? You got to live by faith. The general principle is to abide in the calling where you're called, and we're not to preach up here on the pulpit and to encourage anybody to step out by faith and quit their job. I mean, we can't make it seem like these guys drop everything and never go back to the nets, because they do. They go back to the nets. And it's, like I said, it looks like a process here. Their commission, let's look at their commission, Matthew 10. They weren't even commissioned until Matthew 10. Bible says, verse 10:1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 were, we can go through them. Names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of Samaritans enter ye not. And so there's their commission. Let's look in Luke 5. You can put these things together here and add them up, and you start learning some things about the Bible and what the Lord really requires of you. He doesn't require anybody to blindly, just drop everything they're doing, and he's going to meet with you. He's going to show you some things about himself before he wants you to take that step. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You don't just have faith and just step out without hearing anything what the Bible says. You've got to have some faith built up in you. And that comes from the Lord himself, through his words. Luke 5:5-2. Is that it? And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of and saw two lake of Gennesaret? Is that how it's pronounced? Yeah, that sounds good. And saw the two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Yeah, here it is. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. I don't know if this is what I'm looking for here. Let me see. Yeah, oh, it is. Yeah, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and they brake their net. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships. Here they are, they're back in the net. They're back doing the nets, back fishing, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus saith unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And so here you have them forsaking all. Let's look in Luke 4:38. This is the one I was really looking for. Before that one. 4:38. The Bible says, and he arose. So we just read another event. This is the event before we just read. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. They besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered. Jesus heals Peter's wife's mother. And that doesn't happen until Matthew 8:14. Go to Matthew 8:14. Here it is. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. So here's the chronological events that are taking place. Matthew 4, he's called them, and they left their nets. Luke 5, they leave their nets, but before they leave, or before they forsake all, his mother is sick. So here's how you can tell that he's not just asking them to blindly follow. They've had meetings and multiple encounters with Jesus Christ. They've heard him preach. They've heard him, his teachings. And when they forsake all, they are taking a step of faith, but they have the words of God in them to take that step. They're just not just running out there, because what happens when you do that? You end up on welfare. Especially if the Lord wants you to stay in the calling that He's called you, and He's not ready to call you out yet because you don't know enough, you don't have enough faith, you don't have enough of His faith, you end up on welfare. Without a job, when you should have been working, and you should have been providing, and you should have been making a living. So the scriptures can be misinterpreted. And when preachers misinterpret the Bible, that's what happens. Some poor man that should have been working ends up in the street. Oh, go ahead. That's the Bible's, well, well, if you ask me, the woman's got a harder job at home, and if she steps out, then the man's really in trouble. So you have to be careful not to put yourself in a position where you're being unscriptural. I mean, the Bible's written to where if you don't seek it, you're not going to find it. God will call you when He's ready. And if you're in a hurry to go nowhere, that's where you're going to go. Nowhere. Galatians 4. Here's Galatians. Galatians 4. Galatians 4:1. The Bible says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors, until the time appointed of the Father." Hey, if you're an heir of Jesus Christ, you're under tutors and governors. God's given the church teachers. He's given them governments. He's given, and there's a plethora of things He's given the church. And we talked a little bit about it. He says in Matthew that He's going to make them fishers of men. That takes time. That takes teaching. That takes a lot of things that He's got to show them how to do before he's going to send them out and give them their commission. And that's what has happened in Matthew. That's what happens in Matthew 8. Okay, back to Matthew. Matthew 4:23. Let's go to 22. "And they immediately left..." We'll go ahead and read 21 first, because I got to read that. "And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." So it looks like this is their livelihood. This is how they're making a living here. And it also looks like they're just leaving their father high and dry. And they're just saying, "We're done with you, Dad. We're going to go follow Jesus." Look in Mark 1:16 again. Unless we haven't been there. Mark 1:16. 16 through 20. "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with hired servants and went after them. And so these men, they're not forsaking, they're not sacrificing their father's business. They're working for their dad. And they're not sacrificing and leaving him with nothing there. There's people there to help. His father's got hired people that he's paying, along with his sons. What they leave their stake in the business. Now they have nothing to do with that business anymore. They're leaving and they're following Jesus. And so that's a tough thing to do, especially if you work with your dad, because I work with my dad. And it's really tough working with him. Wow, yeah. But it's been a blessing, and I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot working around him and working with him. And how to attempt to deal with people. He's very good at it, I'm very bad at it, but that's just our two natures. Verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went through all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. He healed them. So the miracle of healing, it's connected with the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom to the Jews. And why is that? The Jews require a sign. 1 Corinthians 1:22. The Jews seek after a sign. The Gentiles seek after knowledge. The gospel, the Bible says, is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So even the gospel was given to the Jew first. The gospel by which we're saved is given to the Jew first. So Jesus shows up and he's showing them a sign first. And the sign gifts are present at this time. Jesus shows up with the mosaic signs and wonders. And the first thing he does is he heals. Look at one of the first things Moses does, Exodus 4:6. Exodus 4:6. It's a blessing. Exodus 4:6. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thine bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. So healing is a sign. And so is the snake throwing down his stick. And you'll see that Moses, when he threw down his stick, he was fleeing the serpent, right? So he used... Oh, yes?
I say, brother, this is a little outside, but in that verse where it talks about putting his hand in his bosom.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It gets covered with their sin. It takes all the sin.
Mm-hmm.
When he's risen again, the hand's taken out. He's clean.
Wow. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, that's pretty good.
And like it says here, it says, if they don't hearken to the voice of the first sign, they didn't hearken to the resurrection, they'll hearken to the latter one when they come back.
That's praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
John 1:18.
Okay. Yeah. So, here's Moses' first signs to Israel with the snake and with the healing. Jesus shows up. Moses is giving those signs to lead the people out of Egypt. When Jesus shows up, he's given these signs to show them that he's going to lead them out of Rome, which is a type of Egypt. And he uses a sign of healing. Now, if the Jews would study their Old Testament, they would have known who Jesus was. Look at John 5:46. And I have to hurry. So I'm going to cut some stuff out here. John 5:36. Or 46, I'm sorry. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? His words are in Moses' writings. That's his words. And so Jesus Christ duplicates Moses' ministry to the Jews. Now, the healers of today are more commonly called faith healers. They set up and take money out of poor people's pockets, people that are naive, people that don't study their Bible, and they're looking for help. In Matthew 10, Jesus tells the disciples to go forth preaching the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness, and don't go to anybody but the Jews. The faith healers are going to everybody. Jesus healed all manner of disease, which shows that when you have the right kind of power, you have the right kind of results. You don't have, he didn't have enough faith. That was up to him to get healed, because if he would have had more faith, he would have got healed. They're hooligans. Yeah, he was dead. Acts 3:6. Here's another guy, Acts 3:6. Here's a guy, and then Peter said, here's a guy that's, verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, where's this guy at? There's a certain man lame from his mother's womb, verse 2, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And verse 5, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Where's the faith there? Peter's lifting him up. He's not saying, if you have enough faith, stand and you'll be healed. Well, take this step forward and you'll be healed. Take that bump on the head and you'll be healed. He's not doing that. And so that throws a whole monkey wrench into their thing. And we're to prove those people and show that they're liars. Bring them to the hospital. Heal all these people. You don't have any. If you have that gift of healing, you should be able to do that without their faith. Verse 25, Matthew 4:25. One thing I want to point out to you. Jesus Christ, he just got done dealing with the serpent. Moses fled from the serpent. Jesus went head on with the serpent. And the serpent ended up fleeing Jesus Christ. And so then this next thing he does is he deals with the serpent first, just as Moses did, and so does, and then Jesus Christ starts the healing. Matthew 4:25. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Now, Jesus hasn't really told any of these people that he's called what it's going to take to become a disciple. And he has all this following here because of the miracles and signs that he's performing. And you'll see in the next five chapters that Jesus' following will dwindle. And by the time you get in John 6, all of his disciples leave him but the 12. Because they're following Jesus for what he can do. They're following Jesus for what he can provide for them. Bread, food, healing. But when he starts speaking to them in tough sayings, tough things that they can't understand, like, I'm the bread of life, they think that he wants them to eat them. And so they don't follow him anymore. They don't believe his words. And so that ends chapter 4 here today. And we'll pick up in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That is what's commonly called a Sermon on the Mount. We'll start that the next time. So we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your words. It's a blessing to come up here and learn them, Lord, and to teach them. And it's just a great thing. And I thank you for that, Lord. And we pray for the services later on today that you would bless them and that you would provide safe travel from the Rensselaer Church up here and whoever else is traveling to the church, Lord. And we thank you again. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.